Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, this is O5O on the radio, and this is March 21st, 2016. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. Oh, I know you know this is party time, and I'm sorry I haven't been here for the last 2 weeks. I haven't been able to make it. I have busy up to my eyeballs. Whole bunch of endeavors here, and you know, some good, some other than, but we are rolling today. We're already in NCAA tournament. I mean, hey, the last time we left, the conference tournaments were about to start. How great were they? I mean, oh my goodness, we are really getting into it with the NCAAs. And the fact of the matter is that you have the conference tournaments pretty much made a direct effect on this tournament, for maybe more than most. I mean, the big conferences we already. The ACC, it was won by North Carolina. We knew they were going to make it. We knew that the two top teams in there, they were not only going to make it, they were going to be the number one. They were going to be, the winner was going to be a number one seed. The loser was going to be a number one or two seed. The both of them were number one seed. That was the case. Okay. So, then you have the Big 12. Well, you know, that was Kansas. But if you look at the Conference USA, the Conference USA, they was a huge surprise. You had Middle Tennessee State make it instead of UAB. When you had you in UAB, everybody was expecting UAB. Middle Tennessee made it. They were a number two seed. Then you come up, you go to the Big West. Many people had Long Beach State pegged to win the Big West, like they normally do. I mean, hey, you got to give them credit. They have won the Big West year in, year out. Not this time. As they say, not this time, not on this watch. As you had, excuse me, you had Hawaii win it in their first year coach out there, and people haven't paid attention to know why. So you had a lot of infiltration with the conference tournament. Northern Iowa makes the tournament. People say, well, hey, that means Wichita State's not going to make it, but the fact is, both Wichita State and Northern Iowa made the tournament. Fact is, it made up for a crazy, crazy first week in the NCAA. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we could start off let's just start off with North Iowa. I mean, I think that's the team for the first week because they pretty much emphasize why the NCAA is as crazy and is as emotional-filled time as you're going to get in any type of sporting competition in this country. Okay? Northern Iowa, the first team they played, Texas. They come up against Texas, and they are giving Texas the business. But Texas changes up, gives the ball to Isaiah Taylor. Hello. We got a close game down at the end. We go to the free throw line. They have a miss. Isaiah Taylor drives the lane. He scores. It's 72-72. We're going into overtime, right? And they inbound a ball. We shoot a 50-footer, and we win the game at the buzzer. Everybody comes filling out on the court. Everybody's like, are you kidding me? How did this team win? Well, let's go to their second game. They come up. And they play even better in their second game than they did their first. Northern Iowa had no peaks and valleys in this game. They put they laid the wood to Texas A&M. They put it on them for 39 minutes. They were beating them down for 39 minutes. But as they say in March, whatever time you have left, you better use it. They didn't. They had a 12-point lead with under 45 seconds left. And they lost the game. Yeah, it went to double overtime. But the fact is, you had a 12-point lead with under 45 seconds left, and they lost the game. Largest in Division I history. They hadn't had a deficit with that short amount of time left. That has been erased, or the game had been tied on overtime, and the team had eventually lost the game. That had not happened. Texas A&M put the press on them, and Northern Iowa just lost their minds. I have never seen anything like it. They literally gave Texas A&M points when they would have done better had they just thrown the ball down on the other side of the court, knowing it's going to be a turnover and start up with their defense. But they didn't do that. They tried to throw the ball off. They were jumping out of bounds, throw it off with the players missing, and the Texas A&M players would get the ball. Easy layup. 12 points. Think about it. 12 points in 45 seconds. That's almost impossible to do. They did it. That's Northern Iowa. Hey, the tournament has been crazy. But let's start giving credit to where credit is due. Let's go over it. Let's talk about the big times. Time achievers. Ooh, ACC, you are putting it on the teams in this tournament. Man, they put 7 teams in the tournament. They have 6 of them in the Sweet 16. Team, all of them but Pitt came up. They lost to Wisconsin. Well, we found out last night that's not necessarily a bad loss. So the ACC, they are the conference to talk about right now. Hey, they got their both of their blue bloods in. Carolina Duke still in there. Virginia's really playing well. Well, what about Notre Dame? They have found a way to win twice, and I thought they were going to lose both games. First, Michigan had them down 12 at halftime. Next thing you know, here comes Notre Dame. VJ Beecham goes 7-for-7 from three-point land. Game over. Let's get to the third round. Then they play Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin played great basketball the entire game. Notre Dame again wakes up in the second half. We got to come back. Makes a run at them. We have a nip and tuck game at the end. Stephen F. Austin had the free throws at the end. They miss one. They're up one at the end of the game. No, I'm sorry. They missed two. They're up one at the end of the game. Notre Dame gets it. They shoot the shot. They miss. They tip the ball up, miss. And then Rex Luger, are you kidding me? He gets the ball, puts it back in. Notre Dame, they're in the Sweet 16. Their first consecutive, their second consecutive trip to the Sweet 16. Digger Phelps took them to, what was that, 5 in a row from like 75 to 79, I believe. They went to the Final Four one of those years. But hey, got to give Mike Gray and Notre Dame credit. Boy, they really persevered this weekend. And, hey, y'all know I really enjoy watching the Heels. But, hey, they were at home. They were right down the street in Raleigh. I know they were in the enemy's gym over there at NC State. But they were at home. Hey, the tickets going to everybody. You know it was Carolina Blue and all that red over there in NC State campus. Ooh, I know they were up. Then they took apart Providence on Saturday and really looked strong against Providence. Providence, they have two of the best players in the country in Chris Dunn and Benben Teal. Benben Teal got in foul trouble. Chris Dunn tried to score his way out of it, but him scoring is not his number one thing. And just when he's passing the ball and such, they weren't able to do it. Carolina just kept on rolling. What was it, 85-66? They're in the Sweet 16. A lot of people have them favorite. They're going to be going up against Indiana. I thought Chattanooga was going to surprise Indiana. Indiana shot the lights out against Chattanooga, almost 60% from the field. Then they came right back and beat a good Kentucky team. Hey, can we give Yogi Ferrell his credit, please? Yogi Ferrell has come up. He's the Indiana leader in games played. And I know he's a career leader in assists, but he's the guy that makes the engine run with Indiana. When you talk about great point guards in the country, his name is never mentioned. You mentioned Chris Dunn. You mentioned Tyler Euless. They'll talk about those guys, Melo Trimble of Maryland. They'll talk about those guys. But Yogi Ferrell never gets his name mentioned. I'm putting his name up in there right now. Indiana in the Sweet 16 for the third time in their last 5 years. And that's important because if you remember, they went through a serious drought. I think they made, I think they missed it for, 17 years before they made it 5 years ago. So Indiana on the comeback, Tom Crean. Why was Tom Crean on the hot seat at the beginning of the season? Trying to even understand that. That don't make any sense to me. Meanwhile, Notre Dame, they're going to be playing Wisconsin. Oh, they were in another crazy one. Oh, my goodness. They were playing Xavier. Xavier's up 3. Brandon Cole, lead comes up. Shot clock running down. They have nothing on offense. And Brandon Cole said, don't worry about it. And he bangs a 3. Tie ball game. Xavier gets the ball. They come down. Court Edmondson tries to make a move. It's stolen. They're in transition. And we get a timeout. Wait a minute. What is going on here? You don't take a team out of transition. Oh, no, no. That's not true. True. They found a way to get the ball to Colton again. He gets the ball at the corner. 3 balls from the corner. Game over. Over. Let's go to the Sweet 16, the third trip. Third straight trip to the Sweet 16 for the Badgers. They're 5th in the last 5 and 6 years. Got to give them credit. Went through the coaching change. Did a lot of changes with the offense this year. They're still there. Got to give Wisconsin, the kids and the coaching staff a lot of credit. They will be playing Notre Dame in the East region. In the Midwest, we have Virginia. Yo, got to talk about the Cavaliers. I mean, are you serious with this team? First of all, they blew out the alma mater. Okay, that's fine and dandy. We understand they had to beat Hampton. State rights was pretty much on hand for that one. I get it. Not happy about it, but I get it. But then Virginia comes up. They played Butler, and Butler did not play a bad game. But the Cavaliers came up with 54 points in the second half. They shot 70% in the second half. What in the world is going on around here? They don't do that, but they did against Butler. They took out Butler, 77-69, I believe. They get to the Sweet 16 for the second time in 3 years. Look, we already know Tony Bennett, one of the best young coaches in the country. There is no doubt about that. They'll be playing Iowa State. My respect for Iowa State has gone up. I'll just say a lot. But didn't see them getting to the second weekend. And that's saying a lot considering that, let's face it, they were on the they were in the top 4, and a lot of people weren't putting them in the Sweet 16. But they came up, played extremely well. Took out Arkansas Little Rock on Saturday. And you got to give, we got to talk about another point guard, Monty Morris. Nobody talks about this guy. I mean, nobody. You never hear this guy even mentioned. He ain't got no records. They don't have this, but he is one of the best point guards out there in the country. And the fact is they played Iona in the first game. Know how much I like A.J. English? Well, A.J. English did his thing, but Monty Morris also did his. There wasn't a big gap at the point guard spot. But we know George Niang, he's having a brilliant tournament. He and Morris went to work. They took out Iona, then they took out Arkansas Little Rock. Now they're in the Sweet 16 team. The other matchup in the Midwest, Syracuse and Gonzaga. Okay, I want to see those who had Syracuse and Gonzaga. because I don't believe you regardless. Regardless. But the fact is, Gonzaga, maybe. But Syracuse, nobody had them beating Michigan State. Wait a minute, hold on. They beat Michigan State? No, they didn't beat Michigan State. Middle Tennessee State beat Michigan State. A what? A where? That's right. For the second straight year, the Conference USA tournament champion has come in the NCAA team seed and has taken out the number 2 seed. Matter of fact, excuse me, last year they were a 14 seed, took out the number 3 seed. This time they're number 15 seed, took out the number 2 seed. Ladies and gentlemen, can somebody please wake up the NCAA committee? The Conference USA is not a low major conference. So why in the world are they getting put down 15, 14 when those teams are good? UNLV, UAB is good. Middle Tennessee State is good. Why in the world are they getting put down so far? I have no idea. But they were down there this time, and they took out Michigan State, many people's champion. Almost everyone's team in the Final Four to come out of the Midwest region. That isn't the case now. So when Middle Tennessee State won and Syracuse won, Syracuse played Middle Tennessee State, blew the doors off of them, beat them by 25-5, and it was interesting. They were only up one about 15 minutes left in the game, went on a 35-11 run and ended. They also shot over 70%. Get it done. 18. Sweet 16s now for Jim Boeheim. Hall of Famer Jim Boeheim. All right, in the South. I almost had that perfect. Matter of fact, I do have that perfect. Okay, we can rock and roll with that. Maryland, they're going to play Kansas. Hey, listen, give Maryland some credit. They come up against Hawaii. They took them out 75-60. Hello, Trimble. He's starting to get it going. That was my whole reason for putting them in the Final Four. Mello Trimble's coming up. It's clutch time. It's crunch time. And that's his time. He had a big-time game. Maryland, they really strapped the defense on Hawaii. Hawaii just couldn't make any jump shots. They went 6-39 in the game, I think 2-19 in the second half. They were really being challenged, couldn't get to the basket because Diamond Stone and Damonte Dye was holding the fort. Maryland looked really good. They're going to be playing Kansas. They also looked really good. They took out UConn 73-61 on Saturday. Oh, this. Anybody messing around there understand that Kevin Ollie was 7-0 in the NCAA tournament? Did anybody forget that? Somehow I think some people might have forgotten that. Almost became the first coach to go 8-0 in the NCAA season. Ed Jucker. We're talking about the 60s now, so if you don't know the name, Ed Jucker. Jucker enrolled with Cincinnati. No, had a decent player by the name of Oscar Robinson. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. So he went 7-0. Then he comes up, loses to Kansas. Kansas really played well, especially Perry Ellis, who had 22 against UConn. Hey, how about UConn? 8. Sweet 16 under Bill Self. Bill Self has been there. Only Duke has made more Sweet 16s than Kansas has, and about Maryland. How about this? Does anybody recognize that they hadn't made the Sweet 16 in 12 years? The last time they made the NCAA, the last time they made the Sweet 16, 2003. They won the national championship in 2002. I'm just saying, that's the last time they done made it. They've been on a little drought here, but they're back in the Sweet 16 this year. The other game in the South, Miami and Villanova. Hey, I got to give Miami credit. I thought they were going to be in trouble against Wichita State. They beat them by 8-8, and Wichita State came back on them in the second half, got the lead. And Miami looked like they were in trouble, but you got to give it to Angel Rodriguez. He made the plays, made a gutsy alley-oop dunk to Sheldon McClellan. McClellan that seemed to change, that seems to stem the tide, hold off the momentum for Wichita State, and then they went to work down low and took care of business against the Shockers. And then you have Villanova. Villanova, they were doing it, 87-68. And believe me, Nova could have scored 100 points easily, but they just put the brakes on the offense. They had over 50 points in the first half. They were unstoppable. They were brilliant in the second half. And so you have that matchup in the South, and the final six, and the final four, the Sweet 16 is out in the West, where you have Duke versus Oregon, and you had Texas A&M versus Oklahoma. Our brackets don't look that bad after all. Just kidding. We'll mess around there, get to that for a little bit at the end here. But gotta give credit to Duke. I thought Duke was in a ton of trouble in game one against UNC Wilmington. But the fact is, Marshall Plumlee played the game of his life, came through. He was looking like Shaq out there, dunking everything he laid his hands on, and they went on. And then Yale comes up and took out Baylor. So Duke comes out against Yale, and they make everything they shoot. Everybody thinks it's going to be an easy game. Oh, no, 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 no. So Duke goes up 20, and Yale says, we're going to flip the script. We're going to do what Duke has trouble with. That's going to the offensive boards. Duke still couldn't deal with the offensive boards. Yale came back, almost took the lead, but Duke actually prevailed 71-64 against Yale. And then Oregon, they held up the flag for the Pac-10. Are you kidding me? They were going home. Are you kidding me? The Pac-10. You guys are my conference. After the ACC, you guys are my guys. Guys, you had 7 in the tournament. You got one left. One, and that's Oregon. Oregon held up the fort. They beat St. Joe's 69-64. They were in trouble. They were down 7, 5:32 left on the clock. Dylan Brooks went to work, and if he didn't, ooh-wee, I would have been in trouble. I would have heard about it from just about everybody. So you got Oregon in there against Duke. Gotta give credit where credit is due to Dana Altman in that one. And hey, Coach K, nobody thought that team would get to the 3-16 looking at them earlier in the ACC season. But no, Coach K will figure it out. He knew he had a talent, and you knew he'd pretty much figure it out, which is exactly what he did. The other game was Texas A&M against Oklahoma. Look here. I mean, hey, last night's double overtime game is probably the game of the tournament. I mean, let's face it. No one has seen anything like what we saw last night. It was absolutely unbelievable. There's so many storylines in that game. You could fill half the show on just talking about that game. I mean, what about Daniel House? Daniel House, star in Houston, saw myself. So he comes up, he's scoreless for the first 35 minutes. What are you doing? What are you doing out there? Here, I mean, he looked like he was. They still didn't look like nothing was going to go for him. Now, granted, the game did go in the double overtime. But you do understand that Daniel House had 22 points. I'm just saying. He ended up with 22. He was carrying a fort at the end of the game, hitting big shot after big shot. And they Aggies advanced. I have no idea how that happened. Northern Iowa, boy, they put on a good show. Hey, can we start getting some Missouri Valley at large? At least two teams in. It doesn't make any sense every time Wichita State doesn't win the tournament. They make it. And then the next thing you know, we get to see another Missouri Valley team, and they do well. this has been the case for a while now, not just when Wichita State was doing well, but when Creighton was in the Missouri Valley as well. Well, we now see Creighton in the Big East. They're doing fine in the Big East. So what is the deal here with the Missouri Valley and them not getting more representation in the NCAA? I understand, and they call it a mid-major. Now they good reason to get two teams that makes it on a normal basis. I don't think that's too much to ask for. And then Oklahoma, well, they were in the Donnybrook last night. I thought VCU had them. And no, Buddy Hiles said, no, we're not having that. 36 points. He scored 29 points in the second half. Everything he threw up seemed to fall down. He was making everything. And, hey, people wonder, well, wait a minute, what happened to his mom? Look, his mom prays for him all the time. She prayed, you know, she's thankful. She gives thanks for it. The talent that he has, as well as he's playing. Got to give mom credit for that. That forgiving thanks for how good her son is, because her son is something else. He might make change my mind of the National Player of the Year, because I'll do that at the end of the year. But I had Denzel Valentine picked there, and he really is making me have second thoughts with that one. Oklahoma in the Sweet 16 team. Man, there was a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. Of course, I just want to take a couple of minutes to talk about, have you ever seen anything like this? The history of the NBA. You've never seen anything like this. Never. San Antonio Spurs, they have not played 70 games. They have not played 70 games. And yet, they have won 59 games. Okay, let me repeat myself. They have not played 70 games yet, but they have won 59 games. Now, granted, their next game will be their 70th game. But the fact of the matter is they are 59-10. They are 35-0 at home. And they have a point differential, which is crazy. 12.2. It is big. What in the world is going on here? We never talk about them at all. We never talk about the San Antonio Spurs. Well, you know why? Because we got this team over there, and the Golden State Warriors seem to be going for 70 for the record of 70 wins. Now, pump your brakes. Wait a minute. Hold on. I just said San Antonio Spurs have 59 wins in 70 games. They could get 70 wins, and they might not win the Western Conference. Has anybody ever heard of anything like that? Ever. They might have the best two-way player in the league in Kawhi Leonard. Matter of fact, almost every year, Kawhi Leonard would be getting serious and major MVP consideration. Major MVP consideration. But the matter is, Steph Curry has been on the planet, and he might be the first dude ever to win unanimous MVP. Well, we know that because we know somebody else. But he has been unbelievable this year. Kawhi Leonard, they got the best bench in the league, and it just keeps on going and going and going. Last, on Saturday night, they actually beat the Warriors, who came to San Antonio. And, of course, I did say 35-0. They took out the Warriors 87-79. Hear that out, everybody. How did they do that to the Spurs? I mean, to the Warriors. But the fact is, they are getting it done on a normal basis. Nobody's talking about them. I mean, some of their records are dizzy. I mean, they come up here 37-5 against the conference. That's unbelievable against how good this Western Conference is. As a matter of fact, it's tied for the best in the league. Oh, boy. Yeah. Against Golden State. So their problem hasn't been the West. Their problem been the East. So, think about that. But the Spurs and Warriors, oh, man, they're going to be a playoff time. So, again, on Thursday, we're going to be in the evening, 6 o'clock. Stay tuned. Talk to you later. Toodaloo, and bye-bye.